For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's up? What's happening on a Friday? It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We got so much great stuff coming later on in the show. It's not like you have to wait till later to get great stuff. That would be a, congrats. You've reached the sucky part of the show. We're gonna save all the great stuff for later. Just let you know that today could be a day to just kick back, relax, fire up the old Odyssey app, as Michael Phillips once said, and take the show for a ride. Because we have our pal Nate Tice on at 6 o'clock, and we're going to talk about the NFL trends of the year when it comes to scheme. We're not going to get too deep. We're not going to get too nerdy, but some of the bigger picture things that he's seeing in the NFL, and where Cliff Kingsbury and the things that he does, and Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and the things that they do fit into all of that. So that's coming up at 6 o'clock. And Anthony, we're actually going to start the show with some work done by the man who's going to join us at 5. Ben Standick did his 6th annual agent survey. Where this year, I got to ask Ben when we have him on again at 5, how many agents did this start with? Because it's up to 31. He got 31 different NFL agents to anonymously answer a bunch of questions. That's good. That's good stuff, man. I'm excited to talk about this. We saved this kind of for today because we're going to have Ben on later. But this came out earlier in the week. And for the first of these 6 times, Anthony, people had good things to say about the Commanders.
Finally. Finally.
Yay!
It feels good to be talked about positively.
Positively.
Lee.
Yes. So it's the topics that they asked about. And Anthony, I'm just going to read them off real quick. And then you tell me, we're going to dive into this agent survey. You tell me which one's most interesting to you. And there's some that are more commander specific and some that don't obviously talk on the Commanders. So we got, which is the best run franchise in the league? Which is the most unstable franchise in the league? Which franchise had the best offseason? They did some quarterback questions. Will the Cowboys and Dak Prescott agree to a contract extension? What average annual value would Patrick Mahomes receive if he was a free agent on the open market? Then you got a couple more. You got, what do you make of the Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix situation? Best talent evaluator in the league. Which GM or front office leader do you trust most? Who's the best overall GM and a future GM to watch? Which, we got a couple more. We got some NFLPA stuff. We got the Ayuk situation, 18-game schedule. Which of those topics, quarterbacks, executives, player-adjacent stuff, which one is most intriguing to you?
Probably, I think we should start NFL-adjacent, so let's go with the players, and then bring it back to... I guess
so. Start with the quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with the quarterback stuff. Mm-hmm. Will the Cowboys and 2025 free agent quarterback Dak Prescott agree to a contract extension? 18 of the 31 agents said yes. 13 of the 31 said no. Some quotes from anonymous agents. No, the Cowboys got themselves into a mess. That's what happens when the owner gets too involved and becomes friends with the players. I wouldn't pay Dak $60 million per year, and they can't make all three guys the highest paid at their respective positions. Of course, after this, CeeDee Lamb did just sign a deal that made him the second highest paid receiver, not the first, but still it is a lot of money. No, the Cowboys want to play it out and are willing to pay the price if wrong. Yes, I can't imagine Jerry letting him go. Hold the line. Once you start paying guys that crazy money, they effectively own part of the team. You can get a $5 million quarterback and win 8 games. Maybe Jerry is getting hip to that reality. See, this is the funny thing about being a reporter in the NFL is agents are, one, super duper opinionated. All these dudes have lots of thoughts on lots of different things. And these are also people that are setting the market. And so they're working with their clients to understand their space in the market. And these are some of the agents that are signing some of these big deals. And I feel like some of them are actually not some of the guys signing the big deals, because I feel like some of these guys don't know anything, while others are some of the smartest people in the entire NFL ecosystem. There are some agents whose opinion I would respect. I don't have a ton of agent relationships. That was never my thing when I was a reporter. I had some, and I've had a chance to meet a couple over the years. And the couple that I know that I trust are like really, really smart people. And they have some pretty big clients, or they've been around a long time, and they understand their place in the market and like who their exact client is. And that understanding makes them excellent at what they do. But a lot of those same guys like really understand who's good, who's not. They're good talent scouts. They're good character scouts. They know who's a BSer and who's not amongst executives. And so it's kind of funny to see a quote like, once you start paying guys that crazy money, they effectively own a part of the team. You can get a $5 million QB and win 8 games. Maybe Jerry is getting hip to that reality. Dak Prescott's won 12 games 3 years in a row. So, yeah, if you want to win 8 games, sure, you could find a $5 million quarterback. I don't think you actually can unless the rest of your team is sick. Because, like, you know, Jacoby Brissett's not a $5 million quarterback. Jacoby Brissett's a $10, $12 million quarterback. Who's the $5 million quarterback that you're, unless you're talking about a rookie, who's the $5 million quarterback that's winning you 8 games in the NFL in 2024? That guy doesn't exist. Meanwhile, I think this is like a much more money quote. The issue is whether Dak is a top five QB. He was in the regular season, but is he a difference maker? I think Dallas is doing right by seeing what he's worth. And like, that's actually smart. If I was the Cowboys GM and I didn't want to just pay Dak, and I'm like, dang, I can't have this dude blow up in the playoffs again. We can't lose another playoff game. Or if we do, we're going to have to reset the whole thing. I might be willing to play it out one more season. And that's a huge risk because Dak's going to be really expensive. Because if he goes out and wins, then okay. But at that point, are you just going like, we think he's really good. We're going to have to pay him anyway. What's an extra $5 million a year at that point compared to not paying him at all? I'd rather pay him an extra $5 million and have that be my penalty because he actually finally comes through in the playoffs and maybe even leads us to a Super Bowl versus I paid a dude $60 million that I shouldn't have paid at all. That's a worse mistake. And that is the only defense I could possibly give of the Cowboys position. The correct answer would have been to pay Dak 2 years ago or a year ago, or certainly earlier this offseason before Burrow and all those dudes got paid. But at this point, yikes, man. This is the conundrum they've got themselves into. But it's interesting to see on the agent survey side of it, all of the different opinions from all these people in the league.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I'm really interested in why no one really mentioned, I guess, Dak's playoff success. I feel like during the season, like, I think Dak does enough just to, like, get you. He does just enough just to get you, you know, to the playoffs. But once, you know, December, January rolls around, it's just – he doesn't really make all that big of a difference. So I think that's more so where Dallas is right now. They just want to win. So I think if Dallas goes out, wins one or two games in the playoffs, I think that it's gets easy. His $60 million. Yes, it's easy.
And at that point, he's worth it based on where the you know, contract is, or the quarterback contracts league-wide are. Because I think he hasn't done it. Yep. I don't know that means he's incapable. Those are two different things. Michael Jordan couldn't win a championship until he did. LeBron James couldn't win a championship until he did. And Dak Prescott, sure as you know what, is not Michael Jordan or LeBron James. Yep. But he might be a top five quarterback in the NFL. He's played like it the last couple years. Last year, he was a top five quarterback. He was an MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. And then playoffs, yikes, bro. And so if he can get over that hump this year, well, then he's probably a bona fide top five quarterback. And you're going to have to pay him. He's younger than you think. How old do you think Dak Prescott is, Anthony? Let's put this to the test.
How old 28. Do you think? He's my age, I think.
Dak Prescott, well, he's, okay, he's older than that. He's 31.
Oh, never mind.
But people think he's like 34. He's not. He's probably got 3-4 years left. So you sign him to one deal. And you hope to take him through the end. Why did you think he was 28?
I don't know.
Probably because I said he's younger than you think.
I think when I was in college. So when I was in college, I think was his senior. It might have been his senior year. I don't know. He was in college when I was in college, and
but maybe it was his senior year and your freshman year.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. Mm. I don't know. But when you say he's younger than I think he is, I was like, maybe trying to throw me off. Maybe he's my year, but yeah, he's not. I should know. Lamar's my year. I'm tripping.
Okay.
And Baker Mayfield, all those guys.
Who is my year? Like Andrew? No,
we had five quarterbacks come on my year.
2012, because Cam was 11. I guess it was Luck. Luck came out because Luck stayed the extra year. So, yeah, me and Andrew Luck. Me and Captain Andrew Luck.
Oh, that's your dog.
Salute. are there any actual active? I mean, I guess then, obviously, Robert.
Robert.
Would have been 2012.
Russell Wilson.
Russ. Yeah, so there's a couple Kirk.
Oh, yeah, Kirk.
So there's a couple still around. Class of 2012.
I'm not going to lie, Craig.
I've tried to forget some of these.
So far away.
Yeah, I've been out of college a long time.
And not to say you're old, but it just sounds distant.
I hear you. Okay.
Let me just double down one more time. It sounds so far away.
Yeah, Lamar ain't a spring chicken anymore, bro.
Yeah, he's not. He's not. I'm not either.
No.
And that's a sad reality.
This is life. This is a segment that has gone out of control. Because Anthony tried to call me old. And one of two things is happening. Either you have listeners who are like in their 40s and 50s being like, y'all are young. If you think 30 is old, just wait. Also, shut up, Haney. You don't know anything. 30 is not old. Stupid young whippersnapper. Yep. And then you have people that are younger than us listening being like, y'all are basically dead.
Good gracious.
Yeah. So, and then people our age are just confused. They're like, I don't know. Are we old? Are we young? Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Depends on the day. Depends on the step you take and whether you feel it in your back and hip and such. Anyway, the point is, we'll do more from the agent survey next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the Offense Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube if you like as well. at the Team 980. We're taking a look at Ben Standig's agent survey, the sixth annual that he has done. And the first one that really has been kind to the Commanders. Obviously, there's a lot of new people in charge, which is one of the kind parts of the survey. We'll talk about it more with Ben in person, or I guess on the phone, if you will. He's going to be on the show at 5 o'clock. That was the point of that. And so we'll get a lot more insight, et cetera, et cetera. But we right now are going to take a look at the parts of the survey that really were kind to the Commanders, and that is the executives. When it comes to best talent evaluator, Anthony, Adam Peters got 3 votes, which puts him tied for, I guess, 3rd place. John Schneider and Brett Veach, the Seahawks and Chiefs general managers, both got 4, and then Gutekunst, the Packers GM, got 3 votes as well of the 31. Peters, 3. Chris Ballard, Eric DaCosta, Brad Holmes, and Nolan Teasley, who's the Seahawks assistant GM, actually got 2 along with those other names that I mentioned. So a couple of people on Peters said, again, these are NFL agents anonymous to Ben Standig. Peters might be a curious choice since he just got a GM job, but look at his time with the 49ers and the start with Washington. They've already done an excellent job flipping around the scouting department. Just having a scouting structure is something that Washington hasn't had for about 20 years. No GM is the sole evaluator of a team. And I thought that's a really, really fascinating comment because for years, they've had people that I think were pretty respected as scouts. But there was no great process to get the information out of those scouts and use it optimally. I think Kyle Smith did a good job. Like, if you look at the good drafts that they had, it's because the first year of Scott McLuhan, they had some of that stuff. The draft or two that Kyle Smith had where he was actually in charge and allowed to cook, if you will, like, those are some of the better drafts that Washington has had. Certainly not no misses, certainly not perfect, but, like, they got some good players, and some of the guys that come out of those drafts are the ones that are still around here a bunch of years later. Meanwhile, the past bunch of years where Ron had way too much on his plate, and I'm not trying to just dump on Ron because everyone thinks that now it's like dump on Ron Rivera season, but the reality is when your head coach is also the GM, it's you don't have someone who's as dedicated to the scouting who's in charge. And so, you know, if there's ways to circumvent the system. Oh, I got to get this on the head coach's desk. I'm going to go around the GM or a guy, you know, whether it was Mayhew or Marty Herney. Those two, I don't know that their roles were always super clear on who should do what and whose voice was listened to. And they may have changed from year to year, or sometimes another voice came in. Whatever it was, we know that, you know, obviously throughout the entirety of the time, Dan Snyder had veto power and used multiple first-round picks on quarterbacks in ways that the football people didn't always approve of. So now that you have clear hierarchy, clear, great scouting voice, even before you take some of the scouts and move them around in ways that Adam Peters has done since the draft, during this first draft, everybody knew exactly what they were supposed to do. Doesn't mean there weren't upgrades in talent, and there already has been. After the draft, they moved on from some of the scouts, and they reassigned some others and brought in some of their own people. But between the smart people they brought in, Adam, Lance Newmark, Brandon Sosna, who we'll talk about more in a second, etc., and just having a system, I think it's pretty clear they have a lot better process, and you see that with the talent they brought in the draft and really, frankly, in free agency as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loving the fact that he is up here, but also I think there was somebody else that commented and was like, look at, you know, what he did in San Francisco. I think he possibly could have got even more votes had, you know, this been like next year and, you know, this season actually gone, you know, pretty well. I just think people are a little I guess cautious, you know, to like, you know, anoint him and give him that best talent evaluator as a GM just because he is stepping into a new role. And, you know, he had John Lynch ahead, or I guess partner with him while over in San Fran.
For sure. But I think that a lot of agents realize that, like, while Lynch's opinion was super valued, like, mm-hmm. Peters is a scout.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of agents, because there's some, like, there's some agents that, like, have a little bit of a scouting background sometimes, or every agent likes to think that they're a great scout, whether that's actually true or not. So, like, I think there's a respect for Peters that way. And I think also the way Adam treats people. Which GM or front office leader do you trust most? 31 responses from agents around the league to Ben Standig. And number two, or sorry, with two of those votes, which is tied for third, is Adam Peters. It's Elliot Wolf from the Patriots, Brett Veach from the Chiefs, 4 and 3, and then tied with 2, Steelers GM Omar Khan, who's been around forever, and Nick Caserio of the Texans. And then it's Adam Peters. And so the fact that he's already earned the trust of all these people that he deals with is a great sign for the future in terms of negotiations, trades. Like, if you're an agent, you want to put your player in a position to succeed. I think you trust Adam Peters wouldn't be bringing your guy in if he didn't think that that was the case. I think that the way that Dan Quinn runs things, frankly, along with Adam, like, they give guys shots to compete. So if you're an agent who has UDFA type players or like guys that are going to sign league minimum 1-year deals and you want them to be able to come in and legitimately have a chance to make the roster and compete, you're going to trust that Adam is actually going to make sure that your guy has a shot. There's no guarantees. Like, I bet you Anthony Pittman's agent is bummed out on roster cutdown day. Here's a veteran that they signed and brought in, and, you know, he had a chance to make the team, but he didn't. It was a competition, and he didn't win the competition. But I'm sure that there's a level of respect there that's like, hey, my guy had a shot, and that's what you want, I think. And to know that if you're dealing with a contract situation or whatever, that the person across the table from you is going to deal honestly with you. And part of that's different for Washington this year compared to any other year is that they have the power to do it. You know that Adam Peters is in charge. Josh Harris is not going to come in and undercut him. When you were dealing with Bruce Allen and Ron Rivera and anybody else, and I'm not saying those guys were great at the job, obviously, but you also know that Dan Snyder could come in and wipe something out. And if you could shortcut and go straight to the owner, you might be able to get a better deal. And that's not the case anymore.
Yeah. How much of this question do you think is about the GM, the person? Because, again, I think the point you just made about Anthony Pittman, who they brought in as a free agent, the relationship between AP and, you know, his agent, not necessarily saying, like, it may be fractured just because, you know, he didn't make the roster, but I think there's a respect level, and, you know,
for sure,
he just, you know, respect who
straight
Adam. Yeah, he's straightforward guy.
For sure. I think that's all you want is, like, if you tell me something, and you can tell me bad news, but don't tell me something's good when it's bad. And frankly, don't tell me something's bad when it's good. Like, I got to be able to trust you so that I can make informed decisions with and for my client. That's what I want if I'm an agent. And the fact that Adam already has that trust from, you know, some people in the league, and I'd be curious to do, like, a ranked choice voting, like, or like a scale, like, do you trust this GM on 1 to 5, a scale of 1 to 5? And how many people would have put Adam Peters at a 4 or 5 compared to other GMs? Like, how would he have ranked there versus just a simple, who do you trust the most?
Yeah.
And him getting some votes. I thought the other interesting thing, you know, for years and years and years in Washington, part of the problem, you know, with the exception of that one staff in 2013 that we all know has now produced, what, 5 head coaches? And Kyle and Sean and Raheem and all those guys.
Matt, Mike, Daniel.
Yeah, so there's at least 5. There hasn't been a lot of talent that's come through the building. And on the front office side, like, there hasn't been any future GMs that have come through the building. Kyle's probably the best personnel executive that's gone through here, and he's the director of player personnel or vice president. I think he's the VP of player personnel in Atlanta now. So he's like a number 2 or number 3, depending on their hierarchy down there. But for the most part, like, you haven't had top flight executives being recruited out of here. That's going to change. That's going to change, and it's going to change quickly. Future GM to watch in the agent survey for Ben Standig. 31 responses, 3 of them, which is the second most of anybody, Brandon Sosna, Commanders Senior Vice President of Football Ops. That is pretty high marks for a guy who, by the way, Anthony, is as old as Dak Prescott. He is 31 years old.
Good gracious.
One agent says, I can give several reasons for choosing Brandon Sosna. He is transparent and beyond intelligent. At a very young age, he has been a crucial figure in 2 organizations at a high level. He's only 31 now. It's a coup for Washington. So talk about having brain trust in the building. I mean, Lance Newmark, I think, is well-respected and well-liked. And we saw, you know, we heard him yesterday, pretty sharp guy, super on message, clearly a huge asset for Adam. But Sosna, like, that dude's not going to be here in 5 years. And he'll be 36, but he'll be running a team somewhere. Or he'll be assistant GM somewhere. Or they'll have to figure out a way to give him a bigger title here if they want to keep him. Because even though he's a senior VP, like he's a number three level. Like he's reporting to Newmark, who reports to Peters, if he's not reporting directly to Peters himself. That dude is extremely respected, well-liked, and coveted, I would say, around the league.
Yeah, the structure just of the organization in general, you talk about the executive side and you also look at the coaching side. Granted, like we have people who are going to be, you know, highly coveted after this first year, but there's always a success plan. And I just think having him as, you know, your number three is a super luxury right now. So
for
it doesn't
sure.
surprise me that, you know, he's number three on this or number two, I mean, three list.
Yeah, he's number two on
number
list.
Two. Yeah, number two.
You know, I think that it will be interesting to see, like, you know, the Eagles have had a bunch of people. Because, like, when teams go to poach GMs, right, it's not just the assistant GM. There's, like, three dudes from the Eagles that interviewed multiple times. And I know they've got a couple more in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Ravens, some of these big good front offices, the 49ers have had people interview. You know, Peters hasn't left, but other people under Peters did leave, I think, previously from San Francisco under John Lynch in that front office. That's going to be Washington. And, like, you know, especially like if they're good in the next couple of years, Lance Newmark's going to get looks to be a GM because he will have been a part of the rebuild in Detroit and then the rebuild here. And some sorry team is going to be like, please help rebuild us. And then Sosna will either be elevated here or he's going to be getting looks because Washington is good. And the alternative is you're bad and no one wants your people. I don't want that. I'd rather be good and be poached than be bad and, you know, and not have to worry about it because, well, those people are going to be looking for jobs for different reasons because they ain't going to be here no more. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And coming up next, something that would have been our number one story in May and June is happening tonight, and I bet you don't even know about it. I'm going to ask you if you're still interested next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Ben Standig, 5 o'clock, latest Commanders news of the day. This is our final Friday, not leading into an NFL weekend for a long, long time. Of course, college football this weekend. But we'll talk to Ben about the latest Commanders news and the agent survey that we were just reacting to in the first half hour of the show. Nate Tice, 6 o'clock, on what he's seen from Jaden Daniels so far, as well as some of the trends that he's seeing unfold as we head into the 2024 season. However, Anthony, pop quiz. Did you know that tonight Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are squaring off in their fourth and final matchup of the WNBA regular season?
I did not know this. I have been locked in on all of the big college football matchups. At Colorado yesterday, we have a slate of games this weekend that I'm really excited about. And the reason I didn't know this, I want to blame ESPN. I want to blame ABC. I want to blame all these, you know, media outlets for not pumping it because that's a game I'm going to tune into now that I know. What time do they play?
7 o'clock tonight. Or I guess the pregame's probably at 7. Tip-off's at 7:30.
Okay, best of luck.
That's the ION formula on Friday nights for the WNBA. And in May, when this would have happened, this would have been our top story, right? We did segments on this, mm-hmm. and I got the numbers to back up that people were interested. Like our, you know, we track whether people are listening or not. And there's obviously, you know, the NFL is still king. That is the case, especially in local sports radio. The local NFL team is king. More people are tuned in now as they're getting ready to watch Jaden Daniels and they're checking in because it's the NFL season and they, you know, their friends that follow it maybe a little bit closer. There's some optimism that like, hey, this Jaden kid's pretty good. Like, you know, the Commanders might be worth watching. I know it's been a tough couple years, but like might be time to tune back in, get in on the ground floor. So I realized that and, you know, we're guilty of it on this radio show. Like, we're going to serve the biggest audience because that's what mass communications is. And but I'm genuinely curious because what we would do sometimes is kind of do a check-in in May, in June, in early July. Hey, you still watching? And we got a lot of calls of people being like, yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad that I got hooked through March Madness. watching Angel Caitlin or the Iowa UConn Caitlin versus Paige Beckers game, whatever it is, whatever game that you tuned in to, that whether it was you were the one of the 10 million, the 14 million, the 20 million that watched some of those games, people stuck around in higher numbers than ever before. The WNBA has had more 1 million viewer broadcasts this season than ever before, and there is a playoff stretch, like final 10 games of the regular season and playoffs still to come, with some huge marquee matchups, including tonight, with Caitlin and Angel having their final battle of the regular season. And by the way, they're currently the last two teams in the playoffs, seed 7 and 8. And so I'm curious at 301-230-0980, are you still interested? Whether you knew or not, now that you know, are you going to watch tonight? Are you going to flip on Ion like you might have earlier in the regular season? Or are you kind of in a it was a really great, and to be clear, I want to say this up front, because I feel like sometimes people turn this stuff into culture war nonsense, and that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not looking to shame. Like, if you want to call in and be like, women shouldn't play sports, then yeah, like, we're going to hang up on you real quick and just pretend like you don't exist. We're just going to move on to the next call. Like, that's not what we're after. But if you're like, hey, I like football more than basketball, and it was great to have a basketball game on a Friday night in the middle of the summer, but now, I'm not a huge baseball guy, so I'd rather watch, the Mystics or the Fever. I watch Caitlin Clark and she's really fun, but now that there's college football on tonight, I'm back to college football. That's fine with me. I'm not here to yuck your yum. I'm not here to judge people based off of their sporting preferences. So just to be clear, like, this isn't some kind of gotcha trap. We're not doing that. This is a pure sporting question, because we all have our hierarchy, right? I watch certain sports that many of you listening don't watch. You watch certain stuff. Like, a lot of you listening watch a lot more college football than me. That's fine. I got other stuff that I'd rather watch than college football. We have fun with March Madness every year because I like to poke fun at college basketball. But like, if that's your thing, that's your thing. I prefer the NBA. That's my personal preference. But I'm curious, with the tremendous growth that we've seen and the numbers that we've seen the WNBA put up this year, if you have continued to follow it throughout the summer, and now that you've made it, three quarters of the way through the season and the playoffs are around the corner, but that big behemoth football is back, are you still locked in? 301-230-0980. My guess is, Anthony, that there are some fans that probably tried to follow it, and especially if you follow sports in part by watching the games and then checking out some of the online discourse on Twitter or YouTube or wherever it is, that there are some fans that got really sick of the discourse, and unfortunately it turned them off. And there are times that I wanted to turn it off as well, because it was hard to watch without thinking about what could be said. And I thought this was actually hilariously summed up by my guy Tony, who I've mentioned a couple times this week because he's in the fantasy league. But he made a really funny video the other day that had a little bit of fun with Angel Reese's recent string of missing baskets, getting her own rebound, missing, it's a thing, right? If you're going to miss, better to get your own rebound than not, but making it is good. And he kind of had some fun with that, and the comments just sought to destroy him. And so he made this video on TikTok that summed up the experience.
And what did we learn? If you make a video about Angel Reese, will it ever just be normal sports talk with them and not all weird? No, my child. This world is doomed.
I experienced this week as well. I'm not going to say anything on the political things, but the last part of, will it ever not be weird? Lord, I hope so. Because, Anthony, we talked earlier in the week about Caitlin and Angel just being rookies and areas where they have shined and areas where they have improved. And some of the comments are some of the weirdest things that I've ever received on the internet. Like, it's incapable of, like, how could you put them in the same sentence? They're rookies in the WNBA. That's a sentence. They're together. I didn't say they were equals. I didn't hint who I was voting for rookie of the year. And I'd actually vote for the same person you want to. So I understand if you got caught up in some of that and you're like, I'm out of here. But hopefully the worst people on the internet haven't ruined some of the best basketball. And tonight, I've told you could enjoy it. Is this Ahmad Anthony? Do I have the pronunciation right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ahmad is on the Team 980 listener line. Ahmad, have you kept up with the W throughout the summer? And now that football's back, will you watch, say, or college football's back, will you say, watch this game tonight?
Yes. I mean, I didn't know that this game was on until you just, you know, covered it. So I'll definitely be tuning in because I've kept up with all of the rookies and the top teams, of course, Asia as well. And I didn't know that they were playing tonight, so I definitely keep up. I do want to give a shout out to you, though. Amazing content, both on the radio. If you guys don't know, he has an incredible YouTube page as well. You need to follow all the content. Just pumping out great content on all different social medias and, you know, all various of media as well. So definitely want to shout you out.
Appreciate that, Ahmad. Much appreciated. And enjoy the game tonight. And Anthony, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. To your point, Anthony, like earlier, like this is why sometimes when, like, say, I'm not gonna go on the full version of the rant. I'm just make the point calmly, right?
It is a Friday, Craig.
Yeah, we don't need to cause problems. It's a Friday. We're just chilling. Standings coming on in a few minutes. We're gonna do a weekend preview next. Like, we don't need to go full on. However, when Stephen A. goes on his, like, who's done more for women's sports than me nonsense, right? This is the point. You, someone who watches TV and covers sports for a living, like, this is your job, right? And you watch a lot of the morning shows and flip around and kind of see what's going on, right? Ahmad, dedicated enough to listen to the radio show, follow our content on various social media platforms. Like, these are people that pay attention. And ESPN specifically, and to a lesser extent FS1, because ESPN, just, this is factual, this is not my personal viewing preference, but actually, I'm not going to get into it. The point is, these huge national shows have the ability to drive content and drive interest in sports. So when Monica McNutt went back and Stephen A. was like, you could have been talking about this stuff 3 years ago, here is the proof point. If First Take led today with Caitlin Angel Part 4 versus whatever, probably 78th segment. What do they lead with? Let me guess. Dak Prescott contract.
They did lead with that, and then they went Colorado.
Fair enough. And, like, it's day one of college football, Heisman favorite, potential number one pick, and Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, like two top five picks playing. Perfectly reasonable. But if the W's in the show today, Ahmad just didn't, and you just didn't learn that one of the marquee games of the season is on tonight from me. And that's kind of the point. So I am curious. You know, we're going to do our weekend preview next, but if folks want to, you know, I guess we could take a couple calls if we wanted to real quick, or if you want to tweet me at Craig Hoffman. I'm just curious. Have people, really the question is, has your sports diet changed? Like, was there a permanent turn towards the W, for instance, being a part of your sports diet? Or is it something that, like, hey, it's going to be a part during the summer, but now the football's back, we know what the score is. It's up to everybody. My curiosity was running on a Friday. 301-230-0980 if you want to get in real quick. But more than that, other than that, our weekend preview is next before Ben Standing joins us at 5 o'clock. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Ben Standig, 5 o'clock, 11 minutes from now, talking about the latest in command land and his agent survey, 6th annual, biggest one he's ever done. Excited to talk about that with him. It is time, though, Anthony, for the weekend preview, brought to you by
nobody.
Dang. And it's week one of college football, Anthony. I can roll through some games, but if there's one that you already are pumped about, then you tell me what your number one game of the weekend is, if you're locked into it.
All right, so I'll preface it by saying my favorite game of the entire week one slate was probably yesterday, just because I'm not a Colorado fan. Like, I'm a Syracuse fan.
Yeah.
But I want Colorado to do good. So
no,
all
I think it's good
for
the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely interesting to watch them. There's some of the stuff that Deion's doing that's driving, like, it's just so dumb. Like, bro, Just, you're a college football coach. Take questions from reporters. Shut up. Quit complaining about it.
Yeah.
But the swag they play with, like, it's fun football.
Yeah.
And Shador is awesome, like, legitimately sick. And obviously, Travis Hunter is special.
He is different, man. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I still don't know how he caught the third touchdown of his three TDs. Just because a guy was draped literally all over him. And he still got that hand up somehow.
Yeah. They started hot last year and collapsed. I mean, part of that was obviously Hunter got hurt.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think some stuff got figured out, too. There was a piercing of the armor, and all of a sudden, mixing metaphors here, but the Emperor had no clothes. And
I mean, it's still true this year. Like, yesterday they didn't run the ball really well. The defense is a pretty, you know, light in the ass. Well, the second half.
Scouting term, Anthony Haney.
Yeah. They fought back a little bit in the second half.
We'll see once they get in conference and how things go.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah.
I will go Georgia, Clemson.
Feels like the right answer.
I'm really fascinated to see because, first of all, Dabo, he loves going on people, you know, in the transfer portal and, you know, colleges, you know, just spending so much time in that portal. Let's see, you know, if what he believes can hold, you know, true against a team like Georgia that is always in the transfer portal and things of that nature. So I'm looking out for that one. And then Ohio State, I'm really excited to see. Just Ohio State. I don't care about their opponent. I just want to see how the kid Caleb Downs looks. They also have a freshman wide receiver. His name is escaping me right now. Something Smith. Apparently he's going to be better than Marvin Harrison Jr. Apparently.
I have a hard time believing that. Hold on. One game at a time. There, sir.
Yeah,
settle
bad.
Down.
Too much.
Clemson, Georgia is probably your best, or it's your lowest combined ranking of the weekend, right? Like, you combine the two numbers next to the team's name for any two teams that actually have numbers. There aren't a lot of ranked-on-ranked games this weekend. Well, Georgia's ranked first, so that's a good contribution. And Clemson's ranked 14th. Carson Beck, you know, what is he going to do? He's a fifth-year player who spent his entire career at one school. Like, that doesn't happen anymore. So the value of that experience, and he's a guy that I think teams are looking at next year, potential first-rounder. You know, we'll see if he can stay up in that realm. But he's going to be the quarterback on a national title favorite. So that always is helpful. Meanwhile, you know, Cade Klubnik, the players-to-watch section I'm reading on ESPN.com. In stark contrast to Beck, Klubnik's first full season as a starter was marred by miscues and poor choices. Yikes. So that is that game. That one's taking place, by the way, at Mercedes-Benz. It's the Aflac kickoff game, noon on ABC. And then, what'd you have? You said Ohio State, Anthony, was your second game. Yeah, they're facing Akron. But yeah. I did see, you know, Urban Meyer is not exactly the most trustworthy guy you've ever talked to, but he is actually very good on television talking about college football. Should never be allowed to coach again. And frankly, for what he did as a coach, he shouldn't be allowed to be an analyst. But I did see what he said about Ohio State, and he said, I've now been around that program a long time, and I've never seen a roster with this much talent. And think of some of the rosters that he had at Ohio State and some of the titles that he won. That Zeke team, like, up and down, the Stroud team a couple years ago, like, they are loaded at Ohio State. They are favored over Akron by 48.5.
48.5. Insane.
48.5, Anthony.
But the thing is, Craig, they were in the transfer portal. They got kids from Alabama. They got kids from all over. And then they have the kid, Jeremiah Smith. I got to see if he is worth the hype that he's been receiving. Because, again, he's drawing parallels to Marvin Harrison. We know what Marvin Harrison did his 3 years at Ohio State. And he was in a loaded room. And this kid is also in the loaded room. But guess what? Yeah. He's starting.
As a freshman?
It's crazy. Yes. That's a freshman.
That's nuts. Ohio State, they got a kind of a soft launch in the season. Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall, Michigan State, and then Iowa and Oregon back-to-back weeks once you get in October. So September's kind of soft, but Iowa's, you know, ranked 25th, and then Oregon's ranked 3rd. And then they get Nebraska, and then they're at Oregon, then at Penn State.
Ooh,
that's 3 weeks in October, into November. So that Ohio State middle part of the year going to be really, really fun to watch. Anything else from the college football realm that you want to highlight for the weekend? What's Syracuse doing this weekend? What are the boys in orange doing?
That is a great question. I'm going to be rooting for those guys from afar, but I couldn't tell you who they were playing.
We got the old Ohio State quarterback transferred.
We have Ohio. They play tomorrow at 3:30. I think my game ends around like 4, so I think I'm going to try to catch the tip in a bit.
Flip it on. Other ranked games of the weekend, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, 7:30 Saturday on ABC. And then you got the Sunday night game because it's week one of college football.
Yes, sir.
USC, LSU. So how does LSU do post Jaden Daniels? I wonder if Jaden will be there. A lot of times guys go to those games week one. This game is in Vegas on Sunday night, so I'm going to guess not because I'm going to guess he's probably got practice on Monday. Tough bit. He'll have to wait for the bye week. And then he can go to an LSU game. But you got, USC, LSU in Vegas, which is kind of funny that it's USC, LSU with Jaden and Caleb, being one and two picks in the draft. So
and Cliff being his,
Sure. But I'm just saying, the fact that they're two alma maters in the first game without them, like, the storylines are mirrored. It's like, how will LSU move on without Jaden Daniels? How will USC move on without Caleb Williams? Mm-hmm. Find out when they run into each other in Las Vegas. So that's your college football weekend preview. Sunday night, by the way, Spirit out in San Diego. Can they continue after their torrid start to the second half of the season against Kansas City last week? Nats, as we said, are home against the Cubs. Can Dylan Cruz pick up where he left off the other night with a home run? Mystics trying to win their fourth in a row tomorrow against Connecticut. So local teams in action this weekend. But, of course, much of the sporting world has eyes on college football as it returns in earnest. And then next weekend, Anthony, it's time. The NFL is back. Ben Standing joins us to talk about his agent survey and the latest in command land next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.